Why should we work hard at being a Christian even after we have accepted Christ? Let's start with the opening to 2 Peter. In the greeting, Simeon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith equal to ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So why would I start my sermon with the greeting? All the epistles have greetings. And is there a message really there? The reason I start with that is it's very important to know to whom this scripture is written. This is written to believers. This is not directed at the unbelievers, but those who have already accepted Christ. Some commentaries suggest that this is written to the Gentile Christians and that the ours refers to the Jewish Christians. Another commentary suggests that this is written to both Gentile and Jewish Christians and that the ours refers to those who knew Christ in his human form. Either way, what is worth noting is that all believers have received a faith equal to that of Peter, of the apostles, or insert pastor, or evangelical leader, or janitors, or retail workers, or managers, or executives, or cooks. Those of us that are believers share the same gospel with all of its great and precious promises. If you are here today or watching online and you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, answer his call. For he is calling you just as he called those of us that are believers. And if you are a believer, hear what Peter says. Why should we work hard at being a Christian even after we've accepted Christ? We continue in verse 3. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By these, he has given us great and precious promises so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in this world because of evil desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. So Peter is saying that we all have the same faith and that we should supplement that or build on it. But before he gives us the list and before he says to supplement our faith, let's look at how he says we're to supplement it. Does he say we should try to supplement our faith? Does he say we should attempt to supplement? No. He says, make every effort, which I translate as work hard. One commentary I read by Hilda Bright and Helen Pocock put it this way. Jesus has given Christians everything that they need, but they are responsible to use what he has given them. Because of the promises in verse 4, Christians must work hard to behave in the right way. This will take a lot of effort and a long time. Peter names 7 qualities of character. Christians do not work on one quality at a time. Instead, Christians should develop all the qualities and keep increasing them. All the qualities link together. However, the greatest quality is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Jesus said that the 2 most important commands are love the Lord your God and love other people. Mark 29, Mark 12, 29 through 31. Each of the words in this list could hold a sermon in their own. But today I want to overview them in this way. Faith. Faith is our belief in Jesus Christ, and that is what we are to build on. Goodness is choosing to do good and be good. Knowledge is knowing God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit through the Bible and through prayer. Self-control is taking that knowledge and applying it to ourselves. Endurance. This list is pretty tough, and we're only halfway through. Need I say more? Godliness is more than choosing to be good. It is choosing to be like God in all situations. Anyone remember WWJD? What would Jesus do? Brotherly affection, the love that is between believers. And love, agape love, the love that transcends all, the love that we are to have not only for our neighbors, but also our enemies. These seven characteristics build together and work together to make us stronger Christians. I want to provide you an analogy that might put this into perspective. Imagine an assembly line that makes cupcakes. Now, for these cupcakes, faith is going to be the plan or the recipe that we will start with. Goodness will be choosing the right ingredients. Because remember, in this analogy, God has given us everything we need. We have to choose to use it. Knowledge will be the preparation, the mixing of the batter. Self-control will be putting it in the oven and not eating the raw batter. Endurance will be waiting on the oven and then taking them out of the oven and taking them out of the pan. Godliness will be putting the frosting on top of that cupcake with that special little swirl right at the top. Brotherly affection will be putting the sprinkles on top. Now, if any of you feel that sprinkles are not necessary, I will meet with you after service and set you straight. And then love would be packaging, delivering, or serving the cupcakes to others. Self-control also comes back in here for some of us. This analogy is about an assembly line, not one batch of cupcakes out of the kitchen. Meaning that in order for the cupcakes to continue to come out, each stage has to be worked on at the same time and continually. Just skipping a step in the preparation of the cupcakes would make them not turn out. If we miss working on one of these characteristics, we won't turn out. We have to work hard on each of these characteristics continually. Okay, there was my food reference. Let's get back to the scripture and see why should we work hard at being a Christian even after we have accepted Christ. Let's continue in verse 9. The person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort. There's that phrase again. Make every effort to confirm your calling and election. Because if you do these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly provided for you. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you know them and are established in the truth you now have. Here Peter once again affirms that he is speaking to believers that are strong in the faith, and not unbelievers or those that have fallen away. And it's important to hear how important, Peter says, it is to be reminded. As soon as I find my place, we'll continue on. In 13, I think it is right, as long as I am in this bodily tent, to wake you up with a reminder. Since I know that I will soon lay aside my tent, as our Lord Jesus Christ has indeed made clear to me, and I will also make every effort so that you are able to recall these things at any time after my departure. I sort of like it that God in His divine wisdom allowed me to say, wake up at this point in my sermon. But seriously, it is an important note that Peter feels that we need to be constantly reminded. We need to be awakened. He knew, as all of us do, that we will struggle and we will need to be reminded. Most commentaries agree that Peter in this letter wanted the readers to be stronger Christians and wanted to warn them about false teachers. That part comes later in the epistle, but knowing that, we can see that Peter is stressing the importance of being reminded to constantly develop our Christianity in the face of a fallen world. Peter also uses the make every effort phrase again to stress the importance of the message being remembered long after he is gone, as we should make every effort to make sure the message is remembered long after we are gone as well. We need to spread the gospel, and we need to do so in a way that it keeps spreading long after we are gone. So why should we work hard at being a Christian even after we've accepted Christ? Part of the answer was here. Because if you do these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be richly provided for you. Entry into the eternal kingdom. Will yours be like Matthew 25:25? Well done, good and faithful servant. Or like Matthew 7:23, I never knew you, depart from me. Or still yet, will the Lord God Almighty quote 2 Peter 1:8 to you? Did you notice I skipped over that? For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Useless, unfruitful. No, those are words I do not want to hear about myself. How about you? Since Peter says it will keep us from being useless or unfruitful, one might say that continuing to build on our faith with these seven characteristics will bring us closer to our Lord God and can make us active and useful Christians. Drayton, if you will, go ahead and put up the next slide. So here's a list of the seven characteristics from today's text. Take a minute and think about which one is your strongest. Now, if you are like me, when looking for the one that is the strongest, you quickly ruled out 1, 2, or 3. Now, I would like to encourage each of us to focus on those that we ruled out and ask the Holy Spirit to help us with those that we are weakest in. Let's ask Him for strength and transforming power through prayer. Why should we work hard at being a Christian even after we've accepted Christ? So that we will not stumble. And when we enter into the heavenly kingdom, we will have been useful and fruitful for our Lord Jesus Christ. As believers in Christ, we should work hard. And don't forget the sprinkles. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reminder today of the great and precious promises and of your eternal kingdom. Father, we do not want to be considered useless or unfruitful. In today's text, you have provided us with directions for our lives. We want to follow your directions. I ask that you send the Holy Spirit to each of us to convict us, to give us courage and strength, and to give us the power to follow your directions. As we prepare to take communion, please guide our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.